Good evening, everybody. I'm preaching such a short one tonight, I don't even know what I'm preaching on yet. So, it's going to be short. Good fellowship tonight, wasn't it, guys? Good Lord's Supper. That's excellent. I am going to open it up to a little bit of audience participation at the beginning to decide what I'm preaching on. But I will say this. Hey, Mr. Miller, you guys can still really use your prayers. Yeah, I saw him today, and he said if there's one thing that we could really, that he would ask for us to pray for, is that he get feeling back in his right hand, foot, right arm, leg, however you want to think about that. That would be, he can get feeling back and that's really numb still and not much control. And so that would be his prayers, or what he would ask for us to pray for. So the reason I'm preaching tonight is Josh Gould's out of town and Larry was going to preach for him and Larry isn't going to be able to do that. So I'm here and I had plans. I had great intentions of I get to go to Ohio family camp here and get to preach a message out of Habakkuk. And I thought, well, I'll prepare that and then I'll just preach a really edited version for you guys tonight. And I didn't do that. So I thought, man, what am I going to... So I was thinking, I'll just preach perfection of conscience, perfection of character, perfection of the body. And I look around, I think most of you guys have probably heard me preach that lots of times. So you get two choices tonight. Hey, it's not going to be total shotgun, Linda. Linda loves to watch you guys. She likes pure shotgun, where it just gets pulled out of the hat, and you guys get to sweat with no time. She loves that. So I want to hear the rest of your story, Kevin, about Linda, because I got to get something to watch her sweat. But anyways, so you guys are going to watch me wing it from Habakkuk. I did read the book recently, and that's it. Or perfection. So who votes for perfection? Who votes for Habakkuk? Okay, we're going to Habakkuk. Turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Habakkuk. Hopefully you can find it. You've got to be able to find it to be able to read it. These little minor prophets. What I was assigned, actually, for Ohio Family Camp is from Habakkuk chapter 2, the first few verses, and then the end of chapter 3, and we'll read those in a second. Then the title is given is Whiners or Winners? And let's go ahead and read the passage here. Habakkuk chapter 2. I, in case you didn't get it from my opening, guys, this is going to be like, you're going to see the way my mind thinks when I'm trying to figure stuff out. Okay, so don't expect this to be real linear tonight. All right, here as we go. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Flip forward with me to chapter 3. Let's read verses 16 through 19. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the big fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do. We praise you. No matter the circumstances, Lord, we praise you. when things are tough. We don't understand why. We see the world around us crumbling. And yet, it seems, Father, that You are using this crumbling world around us to discipline us. It doesn't always make sense. And yet, Father, we still praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your plan. That there is a day of a final reckoning coming. When everything is going to be made right. And Lord, along the way, we thank You, Father, for the process. We thank You for the fires of this life that burn the impurities out of us. We thank You, Lord, for the persecutions that are coming. That burn the imperfections out of the church. Lord, I ask that You be with me this evening and all of us, Lord, as we consider these words from the inspired Habakkuk. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The setting of this book, guys, is approximately, it's right before Judah is taken into captivity by the Babylonians. So let's just say roughly 600 BC would be a little bit before that. Okay? But roughly 600 BC. And the if you remember, another 100 plus years before that, the Assyrians took the nation of Israel into captivity, right? And Judah maintained. Judah did not fall to the Assyrians because basically Hezekiah was a righteous king. Isaiah was prophet at that time, and they appealed to God, and God allowed Judah to stay free, really to stay out of those bonds of captivity. Israel was taken completely into captivity, never to be seen or heard from again, really. Okay? Any part of the remnant of Israel, anybody that wanted to remain true to God, ended up finding their way back, let's just say, assimilated into Judah somewhere down the road. Okay? But no more Israel, ever again. Okay? As far as, I'm not going back into all that history. If you don't understand the break and stuff, then there's some, you can ask me later. There's a break of Israel and Judah long before this. But this is Judah. And basically, Habakkuk, if you read the book from the beginning, there's some things he doesn't understand. He says, God, now let me get this right. You're going to take... I understand Judah's messed up. I understand the wickedness of our country. I understand that we are idolatrous. I understand that we are immoral. I understand that we deserve punishment. But you're going to use these guys to do that? These guys are worse than we are. Like, substantially worse than we are. That doesn't really make sense. I mean, this is his basic question to God. And so when we picked it up in chapter 2, he's waiting to see how God's going to reply to him in reference to that question. And, you know, brethren, I want you to consider for a second, who is Judah representative of? Judah's not representative of the United States of America, is it? A lot of people read the Old Testament and they, you know, how blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Oh yeah, United States. God doesn't care about the United States of America. Any more than He cared about the Roman Empire. Any more than He cares about China. He cares about everything, but that's not His people. Israel, now Judah, they are the prototype of the church. God doesn't care about the physical land of Israel anymore today, any more than He cares about the United States of America. What He cares about is the church. And so, when you read these prophecies in the Old Testament, and you see the example, matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that these examples of what happened, particularly in the wilderness, we're talking about the nation of Israel, these things happen as examples for us. that Israel, the things of Israel and Judah, are here to teach us, meaning the church. The church is the nation of God. The church is the kingdom. And I'm not particularly going to go into establishing that tonight. But I want us to consider, let me ask you this. Does God's people, the church, is there room for impurities to be driven out of us? Is there a need for the church of Jesus Christ to be made more pure? There is, isn't there? And then at a personal level, I want you to ask yourself this, and I want to work on this in two ways. The church overall, collectively, and at a personal level, is there a need for me to be refined? Is there a need for me to be perfected? Is there a need for impurities to be burned out of me? Yes, there is. And the beautiful thing about this, guys, is God cares enough about His church, and God cares enough about you and me as individuals in His church, that He is willing to put before us whatever it takes to get us prepared and ready to spend eternity with Him. Now, sometimes these things, again, they don't always make sense. We can ask, why are we going through the things? You know, hey, there's a natural question for me. What? Why did this happen to Larry Miller? Yesterday, the guy's fine. Today, he's not. Why is... I can't tell you why. I can't break this down. And God isn't going to break this down and tell you why. I know that... I will say this, and I shared this with Larry today. You know, when I had cancer, it's one of the best things that ever happened in my life. I wouldn't wish it on anybody else, but it was good for me. And it was good for my family. I can't explain... I'll try to explain a little, but what I'm saying is, God knows. God knows what's needed. Because you... Anybody read the news? Anybody watch the news? Anybody aware of what's happened this last week? And, you know, Target's the least of our problems, right? Transgender bathrooms in the public school system, mandated by the federal government for schools to continue to receive federal funding. This is one messed up place. And yet, do you think that it is possible that God would use this messed up place to maybe get the attention of the church and get us to wake up and start doing what we're supposed to be doing? Do you think there's going to be some persecution that's going to come our way that's going to force... Let's just think about it in these terms. That either going to make us or break us. That the church is either going to stand as this lighthouse in this dark world and say, we are going to stand here no matter what. Or we're just going to cave in and follow the culture 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later. Because that's what most of the church, and I use that word in quotation marks, does. God's interested in a people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth for all of eternity. And He is willing to use Babylonians to discipline, punish the people of Judah. And He's willing to use the United States of America, or if you want to go bigger than that, He's willing to use the world government that is being ordered and being operated right now. He is willing to use that to sift and sort those who aren't His, and then to purify the true church. Now, it's okay. I want you to understand something, guys. It's okay to ask God about this. It's okay to be like Habakkuk. One thing you read in the scriptures, Jared was talking about, we have a relationship with God. Everything's open and laid bare to His eyes. It was before. But now that we have a relationship with Him, guess what? We can talk to Him about it, can't we? It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say, I don't understand. You read the Psalms. How often does David say, if you just read a verse or two and not the whole thing, you could say, David has a bad attitude. No, David doesn't have a bad attitude. He doesn't understand. He's trying to sort through. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to ask God and work his way through this. So we... Guys, I feel for my kids. And if they have kids, I really feel for my grandkids. Okay, this place, I see nothing that says it won't be a place that any righteous person wants to live in. Why? The Lord knows those who are His. And the Lord is, I think He's bringing some stuff together. You want to call it Armageddon. The camp of the saints is being surrounded. God's people are going to be made manifested, and any of the pretenders are going to be exposed as such. That's what's happening. So, big picture wise, get ready for the persecution, church. We don't get a chance, we don't get to compromise on the scriptures. What, you know, it is, matter of fact, I think that this congregation right here in Billings, Montana, is known more for being a cult, being, people call us a cult more because of our teachings about women and their role in the body of Christ than because we say that a person needs to be immersed into Christ in order to be saved. I've heard more response, oh, that's the place where you, that's the church that women aren't allowed to teach. That's the church where women, they aren't allowed to say anything. By the way, ladies, I almost preached a message for you guys today. The importance of what, I'll do that sometime. Importance of women in the body of Christ, that's a big deal. Okay? But the role of women in the church is an example. This is clearly defined in the scriptures, isn't it? And you're going to culturally follow and compromise and cave on what the Bible says in order to get along, in order to be socially acceptable. Where does that end? It doesn't end at transgender bathrooms, people. So, we got to take a stand on what the Bible says, no matter what. And we got to be ready to do that. Now, how about at a personal level? Would God be willing to allow imperfect people to perfect you? May I give you a newsflash here? That's primarily who He is going to use to perfect you. The natural tendency is somebody doesn't treat you right. And the first thing you do is you can start saying all the reasons what's wrong with them. Does that matter? You know where God wants me to look? Me. No, I can ask God about that. And if you talk to God, pretty soon you're going to be back to, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? I don't know why I got cancer, but I found a lot to learn from it. God gives us opportunities, right? Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He scourges every son whom He receives. So, in Habakkuk 2 here, what is the reply? What is the answer? Habakkuk has these questions about all this bad stuff and why God's going to use these imperfect people to judge Judah. In verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and scribe on tablets. The one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Because God's purpose is going to be carried out. No question about that. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come and will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. I'm not going into all the faith stuff tonight. We've been hammering that in Romans 6. I'm just going to make this really simple. Do you trust God? What's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 say? Trust the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. And what this boils down to is, do you have faith in God? Do you trust Him? It's an easy thing to say. I trust God, I trust... until something bad happens to you. Then you can tell, oh, do I really trust God? That's an easy thing to say to your kids being taken away from you because you disciplined them and it went against the laws of the land. You disciplined them in accordance with God's word and it went against the laws of this land. Do you trust God? Because last time I checked, faith does have something to do, or it includes trusting God with our children. Abraham was told about Isaac, go offer up Isaac your son on the altar. Did Abraham have some questions about that? My guess would be yes. But you know what the scripture says? He considered and he did it. He trusted God. You know, we have a Christian school for a reason. There's some sacrifices that are made. You don't get all the same opportunities from a worldly perspective as the public school kids get. You know, does that stuff matter? Does sports matter to God? No. What matters to God is that we raise up children who will be warriors for Him. Trust in God. You have health stuff. I know a lot of us got health stuff. Guys, health stuff... when we put it into, and I'm not, please don't misunderstand me, you guys know what I'm, please pray for Mr. Miller, it is a big deal. But in the eternal scope of things, it's not a big deal, really. In the eternal scope of things, physical health issues are nothing compared to spiritual health issues. God working on us in here. And God's willing to use imperfect people. Oh, you know what? It's pretty easy to have a good attitude about imperfect people in the world because you expect that, right? But what about when somebody comes over from this aisle into mine and starts messing with me in this place? Let's go! Or wait a second. Maybe God worked on me on something. Am I going to be a whiner? Or am I going to be a winner? Am I going to trust God? I'm going to say, hey, thanks God for the opportunity to look at myself. Thank you. I got to see some weaknesses that I have. There's some, you know, as a parent of younger children, I think I'm a pretty nice guy most of the time. My kids might, they tell you I'm a nice guy most of the time. But, you know, it was interesting to me. The times that I really struggled with my attitude with my kids is when they keep waking you up in the middle of the night over and over. Act up on the attitude! Hey, guess what, guys? We're seeking and saving the lost. We get people coming in. They're babes in Christ, aren't they? There'll be times they wake you up in the middle of the night repetitively. How's your attitude? You know what that told me? Wilson, you got some work to do. If the inner man can't rouse up out of a dead sleep and behave, there's some work in there that needs done. In the body of Christ, guys, God will use imperfect people to perfect you. And He does not want you worried about their imperfections. He wants you concerned about you. God knows what he's doing. You going to be a whiner or a winner? Last time I checked, James, inspired James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The goal is the same, isn't it? God's goal, his purpose, the goal be carried out, and he's going to perfect us. And so what are you going to do? Consider it all joy. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemy. Oh, and pray for those who persecute you. And we're not talking about, shall I call down fire from heaven and consume this 50? Okay. We're talking about praying for their conversion. Praying that they would turn. We're talking about people with bad attitudes in the church. We pray they have good attitudes. We don't pray that God finish them off. We're talking about praying for the brethren. We're not talking about going through and finding everything wrong. Ooh, man, I got to pray for, man, Will Serrano. Lord, you know that guy. He needs some work. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about praying with love for one another. And along the way, something happens in here to me. God changes me. I don't know what the end result is for any of us in this realm. You look at James and the brother of John and Peter, they both get arrested by Herod. James gets put to death with the sword. Peter gets released out of prison by an angel. Why? I don't know. Who could say why? But I know this, that both of those guys did what they were supposed to do, stood firm, and both of them ended up in glory, and we're going to be with them someday if we persevere and overcome too. Ain't going to be worth it. See, whining, I don't know what you guys have found by your experience, but for me, I found having a bad attitude never helped anything get better. As a matter of fact, something, a verse that was important to me in when I had cancer was Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man can endure a sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? Bad attitude will finish you off and everybody around you off. How about, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I said I'm preaching a short message, right? I got up here late. I'm about done. I'll wrap this up quick. You guys are hearing the rambling Wilson tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's another good one. You know, the suffering, guys, of our brethren throughout the world who are being persecuted. This is coming. I'm talking about persecution suffering. I'm not talking about just the everyday trials of this life. I'm talking about, you know, like being burned at the stake kind of stuff. I'm talking about your name being smeared in the newspapers. All sorts of accusations made against you that aren't true. Those are the kind of things that's common. It's that, in case you haven't figured it out, this is a social media world, and that's the world they're going to destroy us in. So be ready. What are you going to do? How about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. This is Paul talking. He wanted to just lay down and die. He wanted to be done. It said in verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we've set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. God's willing, every one of us personally, the congregation collectively, the church around the world, God is willing to put us through whatever necessary so that we don't trust in ourselves, but in him who raises the dead. That's a good God. He perfecting our inner man for eternity. That's a good God. You guys know as parents, there are times your kids don't understand what you're doing. I'm not talking about the times you don't understand what you're doing either. I'm talking about the times you have a plan and you know what you're doing and your kids can't figure it out. But you know what you're doing. God knows what he's doing. Habakkuk 3, we'll close with this. Verse 16 through 19. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones and in my place I tremble. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Guys, there's absolutely nothing I see that we can do to stem the tide that's coming in this country against the church. I'm just being honest. There are no political solutions. There's nothing that I see that's going to change what's coming. So what do we do? Though the fig tree should not blossom, that means no mun, no fun. There be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. That means you're in the food lines with everybody else, and they find out you're a Christian, and you don't get your daily rations. That's what we're talking about. What are you going to do? Verse 18, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds feet and makes me walk on my high places. Guys, when you're on the side of the Lord, you're never in the wrong place. And you can rejoice. There are people who aren't true Christians, who haven't been true Christians. I still think of William Tyndale. He's being burned at the stake and he's saying, Lord, open the eyes of the king that he may see. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs. There are people who had great attitudes in the midst of tremendous, tremendous persecution. Brian, we got to be winners for Christ. No whining allowed. And so let me just ask you, hopefully things will be put into the perspective. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever it is, and we all going through stuff, and it's different for every one of us. And I'm not interested in ranking who's got the toughest and who's got, because whatever it is, the Lord has designed just for you and just for me. But you put it in the right perspective, there's no excuse to have a bad attitude. Ever. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Exult in the God of my salvation. Let's stand.